The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 1st of June 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out our brand new product called the Winner Circle. This is 12 modules that it is all spoken by me. It starts right in from the basic philosophy of me from the beginning. It goes through things such as stone lifting, sandbag lifting, power rack training, thick bar training, high shrugs, pullovers, dips, all in my opinion, the forgotten movements that really, really give true benefit to what you want to do. If you build the base, you can get into all of the good stuff, you know. And there's going to be a lot more about it because it's a series where if you buy the product now, you get a 13-module called the Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. In this, I talk about physical culture, what it means to me, where I feel it is in today's world, and what we need to do to not only preserve it, but grow it, expand it into the younger people. And that is one of the best things that I could ever do with that. So go out there, check that out. And there's also another big thing with it. If you buy the product right now, you will have the opportunity to train with four of the greatest people in the strength field. Number one, Martin Janzik. He is probably in the top two or three of the greatest stone lifters in the world. He's been on here a lot. He's from Scotland. Just stand-up guy. Douglas Graham, another UK gentleman. Mobility, stone lifting. You name it, this guy can do it. Douglas will work with you. Dr. William Wong, another regular on here. Naturopath, I believe probably the best anti-aging doctor in the world. And I don't want to forget this gentleman too, David Whitley, the Iron Tamer. Probably the best side bender in the world. If you've been watching him lately, he's been cracking coconuts with his hand, suspended from a rope or something. He's got it. Just incredible stuff. So you come on board. You buy the product, you get a choice of one of the four gentlemen there, and you get an hour of their time, and I'm sure their time is very valuable. So check all that out. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at almost our 700 podcasts. It's unheard of out there. When I had Blueberry come in here that houses all of our material, they could not believe the amount of data I had out there already. It's just going to keep going, and I appreciate everybody coming in. Also, too, we talk about contributions to the podcast show. As everybody knows, things are tight, but we're going to march no matter what. But if you would like to contribute to Motivation and Muscle, you can go out to my PayPal account, which is FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Give anything you'd like. It'd be appreciated because this show is a lot of money to run. And we need to keep it going and grow it. So I appreciate anybody's help with that. Well, today we have, I'm not going to even say his name yet. You know everybody that I love introducing new people to the show. I first discovered this gentleman in the early 90s, I believe. And if not, he'll correct me, I hope, when he comes in. I discovered this gentleman through dinosaur training. And as he kept growing, I kept going with him. Incredible human being. And I'll tell you, you want to talk about an honor. We have Matt Fury joining the Motivation Muscle family today. And I want to give you a little bit about this gentleman. He was born in Carroll, Iowa. He attended the University of Iowa. He wrestled for Olympic gold medalist Dan Gable. Matt has also written numerous books. And he's also been on the cover of many featured magazines. And he also, this is what I love, he was the originator in body weight There's no doubt about it. The exercises, and he built. I've got the book. I know tons of my friends have bought it too. The ultimate book that he wrote is called Combat Conditioning. And if you haven't listened to Matt in years, or you've never been introduced to him, this is an opportunity, because we've got so many young viewers coming into Motivation and Muscle now. I am very, very happy that they're going to be able to discover this gentleman. And with the plethora of material he has on his website, there is really no excuse for being able to get to wherever you want to get with your goals. So with that, Matt, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, my friend.
Well, thank you, Eric. I appreciate the introduction. It's an honor to be with you as well. I believe you became a customer of mine probably in the early 2000s, probably when Combat Conditioning came out.
Yep.
But I'm thinking possibly before that, because Brooks Kubik had the Dinosaur Training Book, or has the Dinosaur Training Book, and then he had a newsletter that I was contributing to. So it may have been as early as 1996 or 7.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some of the books, because I've got your books all over. I've got like three different bookcases, and the one that's staring me in the face right now is Combat Abs. That's the only one I got visible in front of me, because I have stacks of books all over the place. But I can remember, I think I bought one. Geez, it might have been 96 or 97, and I don't remember the name of it. I don't know if it was a book on stretching or what, and I think it came with...
My first book was The Martial Art of Wrestling.
All right, I'm going to have to look that up, because if you really like us and you want to come back, I'll have the list. But I know that I have got a ton of your stuff, and I've read everything over and over again. I'll tell you something, Matt, before you introduce anything you would like. I don't know if you ever do it, and you probably do. I haven't really talked to many people about this. I've been going through every book I've ever bought. I'm talking from anything I've got from the great Perry Raid or Iron Man through your stuff, through, oh, you know what? You know something here. I don't want to, let me see here if I've got, all right. I'm looking at another book here. I've got the, No BS Fitness, 101 Secrets of Natural Butt-Kicking Strength. And I know I've got stuff all over. I'm going to look, because I don't want to.
If you have that, then you have definitely been getting materials for a long time, that book underwent a name change or title change.
It's an awesome book. I mean, they all are. But to get to the point, though, it's really refreshing to go through and look at all the old material and reread it, because I'm not the same guy I was 15 years ago. And things that I might not have even looked at or bypassed or was like, now a lot of them, like, geez, I'm doing it, or I want to try it because I know it's going to work. Okay, so I love it, man. It's great. Why don't you give out your website or any websites you've got, anything I missed with your bio, and we'll get started with the show, please.
Very good. I have two websites that are fitness related. The first is mattfury.com, spelled exactly as my name is spelled, MATTFURE. And then I have a membership site, furyfaithful.com, just furyfaithful.com.
Awesome.
Those two websites, you can virtually get it all.
Anything else bio-wise, or did I give was it good?
Well, there's a lot of things we could go into bio-wise, I think people can read it on the website.
Okay.
One of the big missions or purposes in my life has been to spread the information about psycho-cybernetics.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked with that program since 1987 when I first went into business. It's a book written by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. It sold over 35 million copies worldwide. I am in a unique position where I could say I love the book so much I bought the company.
Right, right.
I took over as the owner in 2005. We recently, through Random House and Penguin, redid the book. It's Psycho-Cybernetics updated and expanded. There's also an audio program on the book you can get through audible.com. And Nightingale Conant has published a couple of my books on audio as well. Theater of the Mind, as well as 101 Ways to Magnetize Money in Any Economy. So people interested in business. So, but I'm here just to talk fitness and possibly some motivation. But the importance of the psycho-cybernetics is the seeing yourself the way you want to be and have accurate assessment and mental picture of who you really are. And most people, they get down on themselves. They begin to think of themselves as nothing but a mistake maker and a failure and somebody who undergoes setbacks. But inside your brain, you also have all the information about all the good times and all the successes you've had. And you want to tap into those memories every day in a spirit of gratitude and appreciation rather than reliving all the bad experiences or the mistakes or setbacks. This is really important because we become what we think about most of the time. And if the predominant occupation you have in your mind and in your awareness is about all your mistakes and all your tough times, you end up getting more of them. But if you're preoccupied with thinking about the things that you appreciate about yourself and that you've accomplished and that really deserve to be in the forefront of your mind rather than hidden somewhere, then you start to make your life a masterpiece. You begin to get into a state of flow. It's a difference between going through life with sandpaper rubbing up against you or sliding through life with lubrication. So I prefer the idea of sliding through, working your ass off, doing everything you can to make yourself into a champion, into the best possible human being you can be, the best athlete, the strongest man, whatever it is that your goal is. But also keep in mind that you have a tremendous amount that you've already accomplished, even if you don't think so. There are many, many things that we can look at as accomplishments and feel good about ourselves that we overlook. The before we got on the program, you were telling me about your young brother and that situation. So that's really important because it gives you firsthand, upfront, personal knowledge of how important it is to be grateful that you can get up each morning healthy and put on your own clothes and feed yourself and walk by yourself. And people tend to think, well, that's not any big deal. I've always done that. All right, well, then let me take it away from you. How would you feel? Well, I don't want it taken away from me. Well, then give yourself a little credit.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt. And I'll tell you what, you know, when you hit what you think about most, I mean, we talk about what a great lead in because these are things that it's not said enough anymore, in my opinion. Now, I'm not everywhere in the United States or the world, so I can't speak for anyone, but I'm seeing what's going on around me, especially outside in the outside world, with a lot of heads down, a lot of people that aren't involved with life anymore. Their phones and their computerware or whatever are like their biggest asset in life now to them. They've kind of lost the human side where they don't know how to converse with people anymore. They don't know how to look you in the eye. My dad was a big guy about stuff like that. Look the person in the eye. Give a firm handshake. Respect the people unless they give you a reason not to. You know, that's what we talk about when we say a steward of strength. When you're out, no matter what you're doing physically, whether it's martial arts, writing books, lifting stones, whatever, when you're out in public, especially you're a business owner like myself, there's a certain standard you have to live. And I know, and especially what the lifting world, the way it's been portrayed most of the time. I mean, it's gotten more acceptance now, but it's been thought of as just like a big clown sport, you know, a meathead, all these things they throw at you. And that was one of the main reasons I got into motivation muscle, besides the story, obviously, of the job loss. And finally, having the kahunas to say, look, this is what I want to do no matter what, and I'm going to do it no matter what. And these principles are what I try to teach and everybody on here with it. And it's very, very important, especially with kids. This is why we're getting so involved with all the etched in stone pages for kids and everything. I see what's going on with kids. I train kids here, younger kids, you know, maybe 15, 16-year-olds. But I see a lot of the stuff that is not acceptable to me. And I want to take my knowledge that I have and keep growing, and the family and the folks we bring in here with me on the show, and we want to go after that segment of the world. I don't care. I've said this before. I don't care if you lift a 100-pound stone or a 450-pound stone. You're always welcome at my table, because everybody has got something to lend. And you said that perfectly when you said, well, you know, we can get up every day, put our feet on the floor. Don't think I don't think about that every day because of Jimmy. I don't take any of that for granted, right? And then, though, you said the perfect thing. What if I take it from you? What are you going to do then? Well, I don't want you to do that.
Then all of a sudden you have some gratitude for something you've been taking.
Yeah, something that you've been taking granted of. You know, I'll tell you this, and then I want to ask you the first question, but you can comment on this at any way. Like today, I'm going to train. I'm going to be doing some of the old stuff like I talked about on the winner's circle with the high shrug supersetted with bent arm pullovers. And right now I'm working on, because kind of the gauntlet's been laid down. The deal is, if you can clean lap and press a 200-pound sandbag overhead, you can lift any stone in the world. That's probably a pretty good, truthful thing, because people think 200 pounds isn't much. Load a sandbag full of sand. I don't care how tight you tie it up with duct tape, because that's my best friend right now. That is more than anything you'll ever feel with a clean and press with a barbell. All right, so that's what I'm working on today. But here's the whole thing about gratitude. You don't think I am happier than hell and having the ability and the privilege to go out there today and do that? You bet your ass I am. I don't take anything for granted at all. To be able to go out and do those things and be very good at them and get more proficient with it and teach and offer solutions, I got to tell you, the last 3 years have been the best 3 years ever in my life. Because maybe it's not monetarily rich right now, but it's enriched my life in a way that I have never, ever been enriched. So go ahead and take it. Comment on anything on that, Matt.
Well, I don't currently do the sandbag lifting, but I did it one time. Yep. And done stone lifting and so on. I think all of those exercises are great. Yep. I gravitate toward more of the traditional in terms of Indian wrestling and Persian wrestling. So and how can I leave this out? Chinese martial arts. So a big part of my training is Qigong and Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. I go to China every year for at least a month. My wife's from there.
Right.
And study very, very deeply. And each day here in Tampa, I practice and I do a lot of standing, just holding postures and integrating deep breathing and imagination and visualization into all of that, which builds the internal power. It's very, very different. Then I do a lot of mace swinging.
Yep.
And I do some Indian clubs and some meals. The body weight exercises, a lot of it is through my martial arts training now, through the practice of Tai Chi, and a lot of isometrics and things of that sort, mm-hmm. and stretching exercises. That's really what I do primarily. people will ask me, do you do the Royal Court still every day?
Yeah.
Hindu squats, Hindu push-ups, and the back bridge. I do them. I don't do them every day. They're not, they're not as big a part of my life as they were at one time.
Sure.
Now, this can be confusing to people. They might think, well, then I shouldn't do it. No, I didn't say that. So my Tai Chi teacher, for example, has a library of all these different books and programs. And if I'm going to go through that library and say, well, why didn't you tell me about this? Well, I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, should I do it? It'd be good for you. But why don't you do it now? I don't need to do it now.
Yes.
I used to do it. So that's the progression is the combat conditioning, was a book and a program that I followed during a certain part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very important. It turns out that it's a very, very important book for probably most of humanity to do on a daily basis because they don't do anything. And it gets back to what Kim Wood said to me many, many years ago at one of my camps in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. He said, if you do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 deep knee bends every single day, and you never miss a day for an entire year, would you be physically fit at a higher level than you are today? And there's very few people who could say no to that.
Right.
Therefore, the body weight exercise is the way I was doing it back then was incredibly important. Now I have gravitated to things that are more internal.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot skip that stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a foundational stage. Getting back to how I first began in physical culture, that was age 13. And again, this is another foundation here, is I was at the outdoor swimming pool in my hometown when they had one. Everything's indoor. Divorce yourself from nature.
Absolutely.
But that's and it's not good. So
nope.
I have a bonsai trees and bamboo trees and so on, and I can go on for quite some time about why there's so much anxiety and frustration and depression in the world. It's because people are out of touch with nature. They never see how anything grows from seedling to sapling to tree and how it replicates and duplicates and how you can prune a branch and start another tree and how you can defoliate a tree and it comes back with 10 times as many leaves or much bigger leaves or much smaller leaves and so on. It's really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But so when I got started, I was at this outdoor swimming pool and I was in my Speedo trunks ordering salted nut rolls, some popcorn and a Coke and so on. And the guy who was working at the concession stand was a collegiate basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me and he said, you know, Fury, you ought to work out on weights. And I looked at him and said, why is that? And he said, because you're just about all fat. Now, you would think that he would keep his mouth shut and just collect the money
for all the
junk food. And when he said this to me, it's interesting when I've reflected on it many times over the years. It was something that did not hurt my feelings.
Right.
I did not get upset with him. I did not cry. I looked at him and I asked, well, how do I get started? I took it as objective feedback, not as condemnation or criticism. Now, this is a fine line when you're dealing with your own children and so on.
Mm-hmm.
He's not my dad.
Right.
If my dad said that to me or my mom said that to me, it's a different story. So this is an outsider whom I respected.
Yep.
And so what I did is I went home and at the time, all we had for weights was this Ted Williams Sears and Roebuck plastic-coated, cement-filled weight set.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And there were a couple of steel plates as well. But I remember, and the bar was probably 5-6 feet.
Yeah.
It was probably 6 feet long.
Yeah,
it didn't weigh. And I started with that. I didn't know any exercises to do other than what I saw in the Olympics, which is clean and jerk and
yep,
snatch.
Yep.
And I didn't know how to do the snatch. I didn't really know how to do the jerk. So I did the closest thing I could think of, which was, at my time growing up in Iowa, the question that farmers would ask when we'd go out in the fields to detassel corn or row beans, they'd say, how much can you lift over your head? That was the only
yep.
question that was asked. Nobody ever asked you, how much can you curl?
Right.
How much can you press down on the tricep machine?
Right, right.
No. How much can you lat pull?
Yep.
You know, what's your one arm row max?
Yep.
No, it was one question. How much can you lift over your head?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is I set up that barbell, I'd get into a squat, I'd clean it, and then I would push press it overhead.
Mm-hmm.
With the starting weight, it would be about 40 pounds.
Right.
I would do 20 reps. Then I would take the collars off, I'd put another plate on each side, and when I was sufficiently rested, wasn't any science to this, but I just felt rested. I'd start with that weight, I'd clean it, and I'd press it overhead 10 times. Then I'd do the same thing and add a little more weight, and I would follow this until I had found maximum weight
yep.
that I could either do one time or I couldn't do, and then I was done for the day.
Mm-hmm.
I would rest a day, and then the next day I would come back and do the same routine again.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
Yeah.
One exercise.
Yep.
And what happened is really interesting. Inside of 6 weeks, from the beginning of the summer, when this guy named Bob Kelly
yep.
told me that you're just about all fat.
Yep.
Six weeks later, I'm 13, and I'm swimming and competing in the 13-14 division.
Yep.
I had parents who were the timekeepers and the starters at the local swimming meets coming up to me and saying, how much weight have you lost?
Yeah.
Or they would not ask that. They would ask me, what have you been doing? You have completely transformed your body. You
mm-hmm.
really look good. And I had to say with the weight loss question that I hadn't lost any weight.
Yeah.
My body weight had stayed the same, yeah. but I got chiseled.
Yep.
And I got rock hard muscle. I became actually a better swimmer
mm-hmm.
at that time. I believe most of the weight training, weightlifting that people do today does not make them better athletes.
Nope.
But a clean and jerk, a clean and push press, a snatch,
yep.
that'll make you a better athlete.
I agree.
There's some sports I would say not to do it,
yep.
but most that I think can benefit from that. So that's how I got started.
Okay.
Then I had other mentors in town, not Bob, another guy named Joe and Russ
mm-hmm.
and so on. And they then taught me a whole bunch of other things. Joe Clark was his name. He started telling me to do a lot of push-ups.
Right.
And, well, how many a day? Well, he did 1,000 a day, and
yeah.
he would show off, and he'd wiggle his
do this. Yep, yep.
And I see this, and I go, what the hell? How the hell can you do that? And he didn't say, well, I studied muscle control.
Right, already. Right, right.
He said, well, I do a ton of push-ups every day, and how many? I do 1,000. And then at the time, I'd heard about some boxers. One was in prison, and he'd do 1,000 push-ups. I think he was in Rahway State, New Jersey prison,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, I forgot his name. It'll come to me later
okay.
on when yep. the show's over, but he would do 1,000 or 2,000 push-ups a day. So I started doing them. Another guy told me to do them in sets of 25, and when 25 reps gets easy, then start doing them in sets of 50 and do them whenever there's a commercial, sit and watch the ball game at night. When there's a commercial, crack out another 50 push-ups
yep.
and you'll easily get 500 in a night. I had worked up to over 1,000 push-ups a day, and then all of a sudden I could wiggle my pecs as well. So then other people would tell me to do handstand push-ups
sure.
and if you can do 10 really good handstand push-ups, your overhead military press will be way better. Mm-hmm. Your numbers will shoot up. I listened to that. And so there was a lot of this, but it was all pretty standard. Mm-hmm. And I had heard about Carl Gotch. I'd heard about Jack LaLanne.
Sure.
And it was a dream that I'd meet these people someday and learn from them. It was never going to happen living in Iowa.
Right, right.
But as fate would have it, as destiny would have it, I did meet Jack LaLanne. I did learn from him in a couple of talks that he gave, as well as his wife, Elaine.
Yep.
I met Patricia Bragg, Paul Bragg's daughter.
Yep.
That tremendous information I learned from the Braggs on the power of fasting, the healing power, the miracle of fasting. Then I actually was encouraged by Kim Wood to introduce myself to Carl Gotch.
Right.
And to write him. He got the address for me, and he said, he will talk to you. Most people he won't communicate with. He's a very hard man. He's not going to be easy to reach. But being you wrestled for Gable, you're a national champion. Mm-hmm. Being you won a world championship in Shuai Jiao Kung Fu in China,
right.
He will listen. He will actually be open to you. So I wrote Carl. We exchanged letters by hand a few times. And then I came to Florida and met him. After meeting him and spending 4 days with him, he said, man, I got to move here. So my wife and I, we moved from California.
Right.
To Tampa, Florida, and I learned from Carl for a couple of years. He came in to the gym, and he, at the time, actually, it was fortuitous for him as well because he had two ailing hips,
yep.
Both of which needed replaced. I accompanied him to the hospital. I'd go see him in convalescence and so on, but he, even with a 4-point walker, would go with me to the gym to watch me work out with other guys. This is after the surgery.
Sure.
And he really taught me a tremendous amount. He taught me body weight exercises, stellar instruction on that. And he taught me mace swinging. He taught me Indian clubs. He actually gave me a small set of his Indian clubs, which I still have, of course. And he taught me to swing the meals. Now, I never really got into the Indian clubs, the meals, or the mace swing. I just really stuck with the body weight only exercises. He encouraged me to do the other things, but I just really was having enough fun and enjoying the results with those.
Yep.
That has changed. Mm-hmm. That is because now there's people who took the mace and the meals and the Indian clubs, of course, and who've run with it. And I looked at it and thought, you know, I think this is really good for your brain.
Yeah.
Not just your body, your brain, because the circular patterns. Right. And then I started looking at this as a lot of the exercises we do in Tai Chi. It's a coiling and an uncoiling. It's a coiling and it's an uncoiling. So we're working the tendon lines. We're working the joints. So I thought, well, if I got an Indian club in each hand and one's doing this and one's doing this, that's the same as me waving hands like clouds.
Yep.
It's the same thing, only I have a one-pound or a two-pound club or heavier if you want. But you can see, even as I move here, you can see the tendons and the muscles and the ligaments getting workout. And then, boom, I'm going this way. So I looked at, I don't want to get into weights.
Yep.
But this isn't weights.
Yep.
This is clubs.
Yep.
And it's natural. It's a natural movement. Then I, of course, gravitated to some pretty heavy clubs.
Yep.
And so I hold them out here and hold them this way and then do all the different
stuff. Around the head and all that. Yep.
And then I went to the mace. And I have to say, it's my favorite exercise of anything in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I swing it with right over left, with left over right, and I also swing it in both directions.
Yep.
And I regularly video myself and critique and look at it. And I want this to be ambidextrous. I want my ambidexterity, no matter what hand is on or what direction I'm going, I want people to not know. Okay. Is he the lefty, is he a righty, or is he both?
Yep.
So I really work that because of the brain development.
Okay, okay.
And that is really quite a progression to where I am now. I did skip over quite a bit. I skipped over all my training at Iowa and Edinburgh with Olympic champions, but that's mostly in the wrestling room working on technique and drilling. There was a tremendous amount of body weight exercise as well as weight training there.
Sure.
But with Carl, when I came and worked with him, that's where I learned the Indian and the Persian style of body weight exercise, which was very different than just up, down, up, down, inhale, or forward, back. Then, so the Hindu push-up of up and arch and pushing back, I mean, you've got a lot more going on. Even the squats, boom, down, boom. And then the bridging and moving in all the different directions, all the different push-ups that would be taught, the moon style. So it was all really good, but the Tai Chi has actually, I'm 54 years of age, 54 years young.
Yeah, you look good, man, no doubt.
And the Tai Chi has done the most to radically change how I can use my body. The looseness and the joints and the tendon strength and the training of the ligaments, the gaining of the internal power, and so on. It's very different, but I'll say that over the last 3 years, I've gone really deeply into it. I've studied Qigong for a long, long time, but the Tai Chi really, and there's a difference. Some of your viewers may be laughing, but there's a difference between tofu Tai Chi.
Right. Tofu.
It's weak and it's impotent, and there's no internal power. You got about this, and I'll stand up slightly here, and then there's just boom.
Yep. Yep.
You see, so there is full body explosion coming through the earth energy and through from my feet up through the hips, through the whole midsection, and the arms are actually not doing anything. They're just going, they're going on for the ride. So you think somebody hitting a baseball, bang, hit a golf ball, somebody in boxing, you know, boom.
Yep.
You got this. And so you can see, stance-wise, I'm not standing this tall.
Right.
You'll see a lot of the tofu Tai Chi people, they barely bend their knees. And there's nothing there.
It looks painful.
And you go, what the hell?
Yep.
We're fine.
Yeah. Yep.
You see, so that's the difference, and I'm always looking for what can I do to enhance the thing I'm currently doing.
Yep.
And the mace swinging, I love in the club swinging because I don't get tighter.
Right.
When I lift weights, of course you can stretch and do flexibility training, but I always feel this kind of tighter.
Yep.
And even the Hindu push-ups and so on, I would still feel that.
Yep.
But with the mace swinging, with the silk reeling practice I do with Tai Chi, with the mace swinging and the club swinging, and then the hanging isometric exercise and so on, I'm getting looser and looser.
Yep.
My flexibility is increasing, and I don't have that bloated muscle.
Yep.
Look.
Yep.
So I know there's a lot of people who want that.
Yep.
But the ideal, interestingly enough, in the higher levels of Tai Chi, the idea is your body resembles a baby. So there's no muscle tone. Everything is really soft and mushy on the outside. So you can see my forearms. I mean, it's very, very soft. Very, very soft. And the upper arm, everything is really soft. But then when you see me move,
it's like pow. Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you see all the cables, and it's hard.
Yep.
So our mutual friend Dale Dugas, I mean, these gigantic paws. And the flesh on his thumb and over here is just massive.
Yeah.
He shakes hand with you, and it's the softest, mushiest glove you ever felt. It's a pillow.
Yep.
But he goes, and flexes it. Now feel it. You're, holy crap.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so his hand is an example of what I'm talking about. He can go from a pillowy, doughy hand to smashing that coconut and splatter.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a great thing. What I want to ask you too, because I know we've got limited time, like when we do it with everybody, is this. Obviously, you have a son and a daughter, and I'm sure they're involved with sports. I know your son plays baseball. What do you see right now? I mean, you made reference to it, and I think it's very important, especially because I got a billion things to think about and talk with you. What are you seeing today, if it's like what I'm seeing? Because I've got lots of nieces and nephews, and they're probably in the range of your children. They're from 15 down to 7. And I go to these games, and I got to tell you, Matt, the parents are worse than the kids. Not all of them. But the kids have this expectancy now of no matter what, I should be rewarded. Tell me if I'm off the beam with it. Tell me what you see when you're at your own children's functions. And what's your feeling just in today's world of just training in particular? I know we all want it in 90 days, but it has really affected, I think, kids now, unless you've got parents that are really going to set them straight. So give me your views on that. What do you think?
Boy, this is a double-loaded question. There's so much, and we could do a number of shows.
Oh,
on
I'm
this.
Sure. I'm sure.
I'll tell you that there's an entitlement mentality in the children of today.
Yep.
Despite everything that they're being told, oh, you're the greatest athletes who've ever lived. Mm-hmm. You're stronger, faster, bigger, etc. And in some cases, in a lot of cases, this is true. You can verify.
Yep.
You look at the 100-meter dash time.
Yep.
You look at 40s.
Yep.
In baseball, you run a 60-yard dash.
Yep.
You look at jumping and so on. But you also look at Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth and guys who a long time ago were hitting the ball far farther than the players of today are.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't doing it with steroids. They weren't doing it with weights. They weren't doing it with anything other than old-fashioned chopping wood, carrying water, manual labor type exercise.
Yep.
So that's one segment there in the training. And most of the children today, this is the this is their training. All day long, they're on their phones. So you cannot tell me that there's a correlation between all the elbow injuries, all the shoulder injuries, and so on going on, and the fact that they're not outside playing the way all of us were.
Yep.
When I was a boy, you never heard of a single player in baseball who had a hurt elbow or a hurt shoulder at the youth level. You never heard of it. Now you hear about it all the time.
Yep.
So part of it is they're not physically strong.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier age. Now, as they move up through the chain, they tend to get better training and they get stronger. But how much stronger would they be, and how much more imaginative capability would they have if they had limited access to their
electronics
and so on? So there's a benefit to them, obviously. I'm using an iPad to do this live call with you. And I can easily access information from my phone and so on. But there's a difference between spending 8 hours a day on it, lying on your bed, never going outside and actually doing anything, acting as though you're pre-autistic or something. I mean, because you think about it.
Yeah.
And this is certainly what I'm saying is not a condemnation of people who unfortunately have autism.
Right, right.
It's simply saying that you can actually make yourself into an autistic-like person mm-hmm. with autistic-like behaviors, and you're supposed to be fully functioning and aware and sociable and a very good communicator, but you're not. You're not communicating with anybody except digitally right. through your phone. So that's a big problem. Second thing is the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a son who plays high school baseball and also plays travel ball. When he was younger, it was very easy for me to pull him aside and teach him various things.
Sure.
There is a transition that takes place that is very important for the development of the child. And no matter how much information dad has or how much he knows, he's got to hear it from somebody else.
Yep.
That is not his father. And then when he does come to you, it's for something that's really important.
Yep.
So when they're 10, 11, 12, you go out and you play catch with them and you hit with them and you do all these things. It's very important bonding time with the child. Then there's a certain age, probably 13, 14,
yep.
where now you have to assign all of that to other coaches, and your job is to be supportive.
Yep.
And only that. And here's a big one that I had to really learn. So you can learn from mistakes.
Sure.
And this is called I could title it the disempowering or the disempowerment of objective feedback. See, if I go to you to learn to be a strong man,
right,
and you say to me, hey, Fury, your leg is weak or your hip is frozen or your shoulders are lagging or something, I will take that in mm-hmm. and I will listen to you and I'll start to make myself better, provided I'm open to feedback,
sure.
to objective feedback. But when you're dealing with your own child, objective feedback is a very, very dangerous minefield. Mm-hmm. You are really better off helping your child find coaches who will tell him objectively what he needs to work on. And there can be jackass coaches as
sure.
well who all they do is criticize you. So I'm not saying find a coach who only criticizes. No, you find a coach who actually knows how to coach and encourage and help the boy or the young girl
yep.
develop and find their own way, the voyage of self-discovery. As a parent, though, anything you say to your son or daughter that's objective, it will be interpreted as criticism.
Correct.
Almost always. And they will now stop listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they will rebel. So you'll actually have no influence over your child
mm-hmm.
because of the criticism. So when I'm at a game and I see a parent, for example, I see a boy, he's supposed to bunt.
Yep.
He's given the bunt signal. And the ball's this high and he makes a mistake. He
yeah.
goes after.
Yes.
And then let's say the next pitch is down the pipe and he takes it for a strike. Now it's 0-2. And now there's a ball in the dirt and he swings and he misses.
Mm-hmm.
He's out. And the parent saying, that was a horrible at bat. That was terrible. As he's going back to the dugout, let's
sure.
say. Now, of course it was a horrible at bat.
Yep.
But keep your pie hole shut.
Yep.
Wait till the game is, as Steve Springer had said in an email of his, that the game is going to beat the child up bad enough.
Exactly.
Don't you add to it.
Yep.
See, so when I watch this, and I have been a parent who's made my share of mistakes, so I'm not condemning. I'm simply letting people know these things are destructive.
Yeah.
And you've got to wait till the game is over and your son or daughter comes to you And no matter what, you got to show them that you love them,
sure,
and that you're proud of them, and that you care about them, and that you appreciate who they are.
Yep.
And that is more important, because if they only get condemnation, if all they hear is criticism, then they're not going to grow.
Never.
They're gonna be stifled. It'd be the same as me going out and grabbing one of my bamboo trees, and it doesn't have new shoots fast enough. So, come on,
yeah.
Grow.
Yep.
You need to grow faster.
Yep.
That's not going to do anything. You got to allow nature to take its course. So my wrap up for this is basically to say that if your child comes home with a spelling test,
yeah,
and there are 20 questions and he got 18 of them correctly, you are really foolish if you browbeat the child for the two he got wrong, and say to him or to her in so many words, how could you have missed this one?
Yeah.
This one's so easy. That's the easiest word to spell in the world.
Yep.
And you're jumping on him for that. It'd be the equivalent of your son is playing in a game, and he strikes out twice, but he hits a home run and scores a run another time when because he drew a walk.
Right.
At the end of the game, said, well, those two strikeouts, you know, you gotta patch that up.
Yeah.
Hey, give him praise for the home run.
Yeah.
For the other run he scored. And if he did nothing well except breathe deeply and stay focused and concentrate, that's what you focus on. I can tell you there was a game where my son came outside to talk to me when the game ended. It was
yeah.
the first game of the year this year. And he came outside. I'm sitting out here and nice breeze. And he says, did you see that shitty hit of mine tonight?
Yep.
I said, what do you mean? He said, did you see that shitty hit of mine? And my reply is the same. What are you talking about?
Yep.
He goes, well, that was a terrible ground ball and it got through for a hit. Son, would you rather start the year 0-for-11 the way you did last year?
Exactly.
And then he had to wake up and think about it. Well, using what I'm talking about, and this is baseball, so there's
yeah.
no guarantee of success. You can do everything perfectly, and
yep.
it's still a game where there's a tremendous amount of failure. But using this type of communication skill, he had the best year of his life. Your viewers can go on YouTube and type in my son's name, Frank Fury,
yep.
F-U-R-Y, and watch for yourself.
Yeah.
I don't brag on him. Some parents, you know, you get them started on their child and
look
3 hours later,
yeah.
they
yeah.
haven't taken a breath.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can just look at it for yourself.
Sure.
But I can tell you that I'm proud of my son and what he did this year, but I'm also pat myself on the heart
yep.
that I eliminated all the objective feedback and didn't give him
right.
anything
right.
except
right.
one time.
Yep.
And the one time was after the 25th or 6th game of the year.
Yep.
And I pulled him aside and he agreed with me that I have earned the right.
Yep.
To now point out something to you.
Sure.
And he was all ears. He listened better than he's listened in any time in his life. Even 3 months old.
Sure, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had his undivided attention because he knew his father was a safe haven.
Yep.
He was somebody who wasn't going to attack,
right.
wasn't going to
Be
criticize, little. Was... Yep. Wasn't going to give the objective feedback. So that is, I think, one of the most monumental and pivotal things that I can pass on to your viewers who happen to be parents, or if you're married.
Yep. be careful, right? Yeah.
Same thing. It's the
yeah.
same thing.
Yeah.
If your spouse says to you, you need to do this, you need to do that, it's very easy to just go,
yep.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yep.
You know that it would make things better if you just did it.
Yep.
But it activates what's called the rebellion reflex. The person just, no, I'm not doing it. Why? Because you're telling me to do it. If you just left me alone, I would do it.
Right.
But the fact that you're telling me and ordering me around and asking me to do it, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
So if more husbands understood this,
yeah,
if more wives understood this, much better relationships straight across the board.
I agree. Matt, why don't you give out any of your, give out the websites and stuff. I'll give out my material. If you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it. And we'll talk offline and see if you'd like to come back, my friend.
I would definitely love to.
Okay. All right. Well, give out your websites, and I'll take it from there, and just hang on if you would, please.
My websites are mattfury.com, MattFurey.com, as well as furyfaithful.com, those two. And if you're interested in personal development, personal growth, go to psycho-cybernetic.com.
Awesome. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and look at the brand new Winner Circle, 12 modules that will set your life right up. Lots of education. I love video, but I think education is paramount with anything, especially when you're going out and going after new goals. So you go out there, look at that. If you purchase that right now, you will get our 13th audio called the Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. And another big thing is this. You have an opportunity when you purchase this product to work with any one of the four of some of the greatest people out in the strength field and any type of stuff. Number one, Martin Janzik. Number two, Douglas Graham. Number three, David Whitley. And number four, Dr. William Wong. So go out there, look it over, jump on board, join our family, join our revolution. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. You just heard we've done our first one with Matt Fury. I hope we do 30 more years with him. We have almost 700 podcasts out there. Check them out. I'm telling you, there's not much out there that I can think of that you can't learn from. So that's all there for you. We also are talking about contributions to the show. If you would like to contribute and be part of the show and help us out monetarily right now, go out to my PayPal account, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Give as little or as much as you'd like to, and we would greatly appreciate it. Apple, Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. If there's a show you'd like Matt and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Also, too, if you have a new car, you have the ability to get podcasting in it, go out to AHA, which is AHA. We are in that directory. You can get Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7 in your car. Also, too, I'll leave you with a load of info here. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, 5 words of inspiration can change your life forever. Never be afraid to inspire. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day, because that might be all they get. Also, too, one of the big things is we love to talk about, if you're going to go out and train today, bend it, break it, twist it, lift it, push it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Also, to dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And no one will ever clip our balls. And as the great Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. We will say that, my friend, for the next 30 years. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My father, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for years, who was like a father figure when we lost my dad, he would walk every patient in the door and say 2 words, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself and not smile. John was a great guy like all of them. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. You know, we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot through it. Tell 100 or more of your friends. And remember, join the family, join the revolution. And as the great Les Brown said, you'll all have greatness, but we'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. You are all extraordinary, not ordinary. And I promise you, 30 years are the best years of your life associated with us in the show. Matt Fury, honor, my friend. What can I tell you? I could have talked to you for probably half a day. That's the thing. These shows just go so fast, man, and they're so much fun. But thank you very much for coming on. You know, it's great to speak with people, especially as a kid that you looked up to and admired. And now, I guess I'm an adult. I don't know if I like using that word too much.
Good idea. Say a child.
Yeah, I like child to be. And I've been told that a lot, that I'm still very immature, but I got no problem with that.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing to hear.
You betcha. And but I want to thank you for being on, man. It's been a blast for me.
Been my pleasure. Thank you very much, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it. So, for Matt Fury, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We'll get this show up as quick as I possibly can, and we'll get Matt back here. So, everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you soon, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.